What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And just wrapping up on the Fukushima situation, the absolute unequivocal bottom line here is that we, the people of planet Earth, are not getting accurate information about what's going on at Fukushima. We're not getting it from TEPCO. We're not getting it from Japan. We're not getting it from the U.S. government. We're not getting it from the FDA. We're not getting it from the EPA. All we're getting is a song and a dance and reassurance that all will be well, that oil-soaked food is okay to eat, and that a little bit of radiation is good for you, and not to trouble your little heads. Just go back to work, pay your taxes, and breed us soldiers. We're talking about an issue of respect here. The government demands that we, the people, respect the government, but shouldn't that be a two-way street? And if the government is lying to the people, if it's withholding essential information from the people, if it's treating the people not as human beings to be communicated with and dealt fairly with, but merely as assets to be managed, is that not a sign of complete disrespect by the government towards the people? And can you respect a government that will not respect you, will not treat you with the respect that you deserve, to tell you the reality of what's going on? And as I said before, the most frightening thing about Fukushima is the silence and obfuscation from the governments that justify their rulership over us with the promise they're going to take care of us and look after us, and clearly have not. As I said earlier in the show, we're seeing a pattern of governments that are nothing more but glorified theater troops that wave imaginary enemies at us to get us to go off and make war on the designated patsies. And when a real disaster happens, like the flooding or the oil well explosion or the reactor meltdown, they can't do a thing about it. They don't know how. They don't know how to deal with real emergencies. They've come into power by manufacturing fake emergencies and responding to them. The Hegelian dialectic: create a problem and offer to sell the people a solution. Well, if you spend your entire life doing that, you are not prepared to deal with a real crisis. And we've gotten more than our fair share this last couple of years. And every time we rely on the U.S. government to take care of this nation and the American people, and the U.S. government continues to be found wanting. Whether it's the economy, the oil well, the reactors, the flooding, record tornadoes, our nation is being hammered, and the government is impotent to do anything about it whatsoever, and worse, appears to not really care. All righty, moving right along. Interesting little story. This is the headline on it: U.S. visa system drives away tourist study. This, basically, U.S. travel industry leaders have called for an end to the United States' burdensome visa program, saying it drives tourists and their job-creating dollars to other countries. This is the most absurd thing I have ever heard. I live here in Hawaii. We are tourism-dependent. And I know for a fact, having talked to a lot of former tourists over the Internet, that what keeps people away from America isn't the visa process. It's having to stand there and act like it doesn't matter while some sex pervert is groping the crotch of your wife or daughter. That is what's keeping tourists away from this country. And our government knows it, and our tourism industry leaders know it. They're just pandering to the security industrial complex. We can't stand up against the TSA, so let's go pin the blame for the decline in tourism on the visa process. It's not that difficult, and the visas are not that hard to get. And it's not the visas that are the problem to come here to the United States of America. It's that nobody wants to go through the TSA. And the TSA's only response is, let's put it on the buses and trains so they have to. We get to grab all the crutch. All your crutch are belong to us. We'll be right back.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
This is your call to action, America. It's time to get prepared. Food prices, fuel prices, dollar collapse, earthquakes, tornadoes, nuclear meltdown. Where's your plan? Get one at the Get Prepared Expo in Springfield, Missouri, May 14th and 15th, downtown at the Expo Center. Learn about survival economics, gold, silver, emergency food, water filtration, solar and wind power, heirloom seeds and gardening, how to prepare and defend your home, and hear from John Moore as he speaks about global warming and what the government isn't telling you, and John Stadtmiller with what is in store for you. Plus, meet the 2012 candidate for President of the United States, and Sheriff Richard Mack and Larry Pratt. All this and much more at the Get Prepared Expo. Expo, May 14th and 15th in Springfield, Missouri, for the low admission price of only $7. Get details now at GetPreparedExpo.com. That's GetPreparedExpo.com. What happens next is up to you. GetPreparedExpo.com. GetPreparedExpo.com.
When all this twist of steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what's really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're going to go back to the phones. Dee in Minnesota. Aloha, Dee. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Mike. Well, I was just listening, to your thing about people, tourists saying the visas are a problem.
No, that's not what the tourists are saying. That's the tourism industry in this country are saying that's where the problem is, because they lack the cojones to actually say what the truth is, which is nobody likes to get grabbed by the TSA. And by the way, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, the TSA has a new group of harassers called the behavior officers that just stand there and watch you for suspicious behavior. And get this, being angry about having your crotch grabbed is considered suspicious behavior now. You know,
oh, really?
Being concerned about the fact that these scanners might give you cancer, as has already been documented and proved by Johns Hopkins University and MIT, is now considered suspicious behavior. In other words, if you don't stand there quietly and let them run their hands all over your wives and daughters, you'll be kept off your flight.
Well, that would certainly put off a lot of people. Now, my husband is Egyptian, keep in mind, and he came in on a visa.
Yeah.
And he said they're very expensive to get. So I'm sure that may be a part of it, and TSA being the bulk.
Well, did he come in on a tourism visa or like a student or work visa?
He came in on a tourism visa.
Okay. And how long has he been here?
He came in 05. He's now permanent resident and everything else. But he said, you know, in order for him to come, it took a lot of saving, a lot of time, a lot of work. He said it was very, very expensive to do it and very time-consuming. I had another friend of mine who was in Egypt who said the same thing. So, but I'm there's a lot of it.
Well, they could give the visas away for free. And in some countries you do. I mean, how difficult the visa is depends on how friendly the U.S. is with your government. For example, it's nothing to get a visa if you're in Israel coming to the United States or Japan or the other buddy-buddy countries. You know, it's getting a visa is a little more difficult if you're coming from a country that may not be considered friendly to Israel or the U.S. or anything like that. But they could hand those visas out for free, and it's not going to change the reality that what has destroyed tourism in this country is the TSA. We used to have, years ago, when I was working here in Hawaii, I was briefly with a company called the Ohana Learning Foundation, and one of the top executives, Bob, and I'm blanking on his name, he was Bob, good old Bob, and he and his family had come here from Great Britain to work at the Ohana Learning Foundation. And after Ohana collapsed, they kept coming back here for vacations for a couple of years, and then they quit. And, you know, they emailed and they said, we can't relax, you know, in Hawaii when we're treated like POWs getting in and getting out. And I hear that over and over and over again. And all of the surveys and polling that are done by the local tourism board, with whom I have some contact, they're always getting the same thing. Nobody's really complaining about the visas. They're all complaining about the abuse and harassment of TSA, you know, smashing of laptops, looting of luggage. They just busted another TSA guy for running this huge organized theft ring where they're just there looting the tourists coming through, stealing cameras and iPods and all the rest of that and selling it all on eBay, and they just busted another guy for doing that. I mean, TSA broke one of my laptops.
Yeah, it'll certainly make tourism a lot worse. I mean, nobody's going to want to come if they got to be groped.
Yeah, but so for them to stay there and say, oh, it's the visa process, it's just absolutely absurd. And what it is, these so-called tourism industry leaders in Washington, D.C., I don't know whether they were bribed or bought or it's just whoever wrote the story changed it. It's not the visas that have destroyed tourism in this country. It is the TSA.
Yeah, I mean, you don't even want to fly in your own country. Why would you expect foreigners to want to do it?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, TSA is saying, well, we're going to put, crotch grabbers on the buses and train stations, so no matter where you go and what you do, we're going to get you. All your crotch, I belong to us. They're talking about having these portable crotch grabbing stations at the shopping malls and sporting events. And it's just absolutely absurd. And I'll tell you what's going to happen. At some point, there's going to be a flash mobbing.
Yeah,
hello?
I think so. I mean, hi, sorry about that. I mean, I'm not going to want to go to a grocery store if they're going to grope me. I just order my groceries online.
Well, you know, it's if you can get away with that, that's fine. I mean, unfortunately, my wife and I, we live on an island. Everywhere we go is a plane flight. And every time we go, we just go head-to-head with the TSA. I mean, the last time I had to leave the island, I got in literally almost into a fist fight with this loser at the gate, who insisted that I was not supposed to have my tuberculosis certification attached to the back of my driver's license for the state of Hawaii. And yet, when the state of Hawaii gave me the tuberculosis certification so that I could teach at UH Manoa, you know, they said, this goes on the back of your driver's license. And I'm telling the guy, this is what the state of Hawaii told me to do. And he says, well, this isn't the state of Hawaii. This is federal jurisdiction. And he's being like, you know... And at some, you know, I started laughing at him, and he gets redder and redder, and he's screaming at me. I'm saying, you're going to keep me off the airplane because I got a tuberculosis certification on the back of my driver's license. You know, and at that point, I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's getting pretty bad, and who's going to want to come, you know, if this keeps going and seeing roads collapsing, bridges going down, you know, who's going to want to come and see that?
Nobody wants to come and see that. I mean, you know, people want to come here for the history of Hawaii. They want to come here because they think this is still the Hawaii they used to see in the brochures and TV shows, you know, of long ago. But, you know, except for the really built-up resorts on Kaanapali and Waikiki, much of Hawaii has really deteriorated to third-world levels. And people go out, you know, there's that whole new Disney resort that they're building out there on the leeward side here on Oahu, and it's a very, very beautiful place. But you start driving north into the real Hawaii, and people just, whoa. Reminds me of years ago when I went down to this place called Losadas in Mexico outside Guadalajara. And when you're in Losadas, it's gorgeous, and you do not want to go outside that fence. because real Guadalajara was really, really ugly, and that's the kind of third world living that we're getting here in this country. People want to go to Disneyland. Last time my wife and I went to Disneyland, they had the crotch grabbers there at the gate, and we wound up changing our mind. We turned around and said, I'm not going to go through this just to go in to see Disneyland.
No, I'm not either. I'm staying
that
home.
Mickey Mouse outfit. You know, and I've worked for that. You know, a lot of my work is on display inside the park, and I didn't want to go in and see it. Because I don't want some total stranger, reject from the seminary, grabbing my crotch in full public, you know, view of the world. It's none of their business. I'm not the terrorist, and I'm sick and tired of being treated like I am. I'm only mildly irritating on my worst days.
And I don't want them, you know, grabbing my daughter either, and it's not that I have anything to hide. It's just... what I've got and what she's got is none of their damn business. What my husband's got is none of their business.
Yeah, it absolutely isn't. And I'll tell you what's going to happen. We're already aware, because of all this whining about how people who punch out the TSA are still allowed on their plane flights and everything, we know it's starting to happen. There's going to be some kind of an incident or event at an airport where there'll be just this spontaneous flash mobbing where an entire riot will break out, and all the passengers will leap in, and they'll slaughter the TSA workers and smash the scanners. Or they'll take the TSA workers, shove them into the scanners, and turn it on to full broil for an hour. You know, but it's going to happen, and it'll be everybody. They won't be able to arrest anybody because there won't be any organized, you know, planning for it. It'll just be a spontaneous explosion of the utter disgust and revulsion that moral, decent human beings have to these licensed sex perverts grabbing our kids, destroying our laptops, and looting our luggage with the blessings of the United States federal government.
Well, even my husband, coming from Egypt, has said that things are a lot different once you get to America than what the, you know, tourists go over there and talk about, and what their TV programs with tourism and it would say.
Yeah.
You know, and he's even said it, and he said if he'd had to do it again, he wouldn't have come to America. He said what they were saying just wasn't to be. And
the tourism said, advertising. You know, it's very exaggerated. I've had a lot of people who come here and say, you know, this isn't what we thought was going to be here. And we're hearing that all across America. And it's just...
I'm sorry? I said that's what Muhammad has said, too. What they say and what's going on are two different things. And he wouldn't want to go through the TSA groping either.
Nobody really does, but hey, Michael Chertoff is getting rich off of this, and I guess that's all that really counts.
Oh, that dual Israeli? Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Dee, we're going to let you go. I got another call on the line I want to get to before we head into the next commercial break. John in Austin, aloha. John, sorry to keep you waiting. What's on your mind?
Hey, Michael. Aloha. Listen, we just had the Abominator here in Austin, in Texas.
You have my deepest sympathies. I'm glad you survived.
Thank you. It was a close call. You know, it boggles the mind. He was in El Paso, gave the big speech about, you know, keeping America secure, and the border's never been safer, where the week before they had a big shootout on Falcon Lake, killing 13 people on the Mexican side. And he was given the big tour by ICE and Customs, you know, Border Patrol, about how they defend us from keeping nuclear devices rolling in from Mexico on the trucks.
Oh, man, yeah. that's a fairy tale.
Yeah, and, you know, in the meantime, while that's going on, probably another 2,000 illegal entrants, smuggler, you know, ran across the border behind him. And what was even more telling was it, and this was a White House press release off whitehouse.org or whatever their little website is.
Hey, gotta wrap it up. We're almost at the commercial.
Okay, bottom line, they were flying out here, and they asked his press secretary if he looked at the flooding along the Mississippi, and the response was, well, I didn't see him looking, but I wasn't with him the whole time. And, you know, we've been monitoring it on television.
It's just one staged news event to the next stage. They're not connected with the real world. They're not dealing with the real world. It's all for show. Got to let you go, John. Got to take a commercial break. We'll be right back.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Some are maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And the absurdity of this whole Homeland Security crotch grabbers on parade just continues to escalate, because here's the new one. Over in the European Union, everybody's building databases. We've got the cloud now. We can put all kinds of stuff in there. And the European Union is now going to mandate that the meal selections for British airline passengers will be kept for 5 years in order to fight global terrorism. That will include the name, address, credit card details, travel partners, all of that will be saved. They're going to keep track. They're going to spend money, your tax money, to build a gigantic computer to keep track of what everybody ate on their in-flight meal. Now, here in the United States, you really don't get much of a choice anymore. You know, you get the little limp sandwich and you don't even get those nice almonds anymore. They don't even give those away anymore. But for some reason, this is going to help the U.S. government defeat terrorism by knowing, after the fact, being able to go back and see what the terrorist ate for lunch on the plane flight. I don't see how that's going to work. It can't possibly work. It's just another reason to take tax money and give it to another one of these security companies, most of which are Israeli, to build another pointless database full of junk data. Now, back in 9/11, just after 9/11, Mohammed Atta, who we are all told was a devout Muslim willing to martyr himself on 9/11. And yet, in the days before 9/11, he ate pork, he was dating a stripper, and he was a regular visitor to Jack Abramoff's casino ship. So, do you think that saving Mohammed Atta's menu choices for 5 years would have communicated anything of any value to anybody trying to prevent a terror attack? And the answer, of course, is no. It's just another harebrained, lame scheme to collect data on people that cannot possibly be of any value in predicting terror events. It's of dubious value going back and building a case against somebody. It's on the same moral level as the news release that they found herbal Viagra in the guy we're told is Bin Laden's compound. It's pointless. It's meaningless. It doesn't prove anything. It's just another way of saying, oh, he was doing this questionable behavior. This guy refused to eat Big Macs. He must have been a Muslim terrorist or something like that. All right. We're going to go to the phones. Joe in Switzerland. Aloha, Joe. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Oh, hanging on there.
I have a question for you back to Fukushima. You know,
yes.
What we've been reading about, what we've been hearing, is that they're not containing the thing by encasing it in cement because it's going to seep into the groundwater anyway. But my question is, why wouldn't they do that anyway? Because wouldn't that contain what's going into the air if they encase it in cement?
Well, it didn't in the case of Chernobyl. In fact, they're getting ready to build a whole new structure in Chernobyl to contain that. But again, the real problem...
I mean, the dust that's created and is going in with the cesium and the strontium and the other things is going into the air. So, I mean, if they encase it in cement, it must stop some of it.
Well, the problem is if you encase it in cement, then you can't do any more work on the facility. Secondarily, what you're dealing with is an increase in internal pressure. And, you know, you can put a concrete whatever over the thing, but as the pressure and temperature inside build and the pressure of all these particulates and gases and everything build, eventually the containment is going to crack and you'll get the leaks anyway, and they'll have all the cement in the way.
They're not doing anything with the building anyway at the moment.
Yes, they are. They're trying to. They're trying to. They just can't. The problem is that there is still criticality going on inside there, and until they know... Joe, hang on. Once they know the reactors are in coal shutdown, they can think about entombment. I don't think it's going to work because it didn't at Chernobyl. But as long as criticality is going on and the situation can get more dynamic, trying to entomb it now would be insane. You could basically create a situation of a runaway chain reaction under all that cement that you can't even get to cool. Right now, they have to keep pouring water on it to keep things from running away. If you put cement over it, then you can't even pour water on it anymore.
But that's just running everything into the ocean.
That's exactly right.
Well,
that's
I
why
mean,
building
I think
these things on the shore of an ocean was an act
solution,
of lunacy.
Is that a solution?
No, it's not a solution. The physicist Mitsuo Kaku was trying to propose it, and I said he's absolutely crazy. It's not. It didn't work at Chernobyl, and it's going to work even less here at Fukushima. Chernobyl, bang, it's over and done with. You can cover it over. Fukushima, the problem is still ongoing, and it has to do with the fact that there's criticality in at least two of the reactors right now.
Yeah, there's still fissioning going on. Okay, Mike,
I'll let
you go back to the show. Thanks a lot for all your hard work. Really appreciate it.
All right, thanks an awful lot. I would love to find a solution to this because it's a major, major problem, and I don't think anybody can. You know, unless you can come up with let's wake up Godzilla, you know, give him a tank car full of beer and let him pee on the thing or something. But short of that, as long as criticality continues, until they can get this thing into a coal shutdown state, which they were saying they were going to try and do by October, now they're saying that's not going to happen. Until the criticality is gone and it can actually cool by itself without tons of water being poured onto it all the time, then in 2 minutes it's not going to work. We've got to take a break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Have you heard? Proactiv is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal, and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-489-0192. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactiv Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-489-0192. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv, plus two free extras. Go to GetProactiv.com or call 1-800-489-0192. That's 1-800-489-0192.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America, and welcome back to the show. And I know that as soon as Fukushima started, you know, getting newsworthy, a lot of people were coming in and saying, oh, just contain it. Just put a lid over it like you did at Chernobyl and all will be well. And the reality is that, no, all will not be well. The Soviet Union dropped a bunch of cement over Chernobyl just to make it look like they were trying to do something. And it did not, in fact, contain the radiation. It's been leaking all this time. They're getting ready to build a whole new structure over to try and recontain the containment. The big problem, of course, with Fukushima is twofold. One, it's right on the shore of the Pacific Ocean. And the radiation is already leaking into the ocean, going down through the soil. They've already found contamination 20, 30 meters down in the soil. Real China syndrome kind of stuff. And it's going to get out there into the ocean water. And it's getting into the fish. They're already finding it in the seafood. And the problem with that kind of contamination is that a radioactive fish is just as radioactive 15,000 miles away from Fukushima as it is 1 mile away from Fukushima. And the second major problem here is that because the events at Fukushima are still ongoing, because there is still fission taking place, because there's still the generation of new isotopes, radiation, heat, and outgassing and venting and steam, containment will not work, because containment presumes that the internal pressure being contained is matched by the outside atmospheric pressure and the weight of the containment. with enough heat and pressure, especially if criticality resumes, the containment itself would simply blow apart. So we don't have an easy solution. It would certainly be nice if, you know, they could take a gigantic scoop, you know, and just simply scoop up the remains of this reactor complex, the entire thing, throw it in the sun, or drop it into one of these extinct volcanoes in the middle of the Pacific, where well away from the subduction zones. But I think in hindsight, and maybe this is the reason why Japan is even now considering shutting down some of the other reactors on the coastline, putting nuclear power stations on the beach in a country known for record tsunamis and quakes was a little bit silly. Wouldn't it have made more sense to have these up on the top of a mountain someplace? All righty, let's see. Anything else going on here? Let's see. Let me type a message to Matt in the control room. There we go. Moving right along, the White House has decided it's going to unveil a new cybersecurity bill. The White House is going to unveil new legislation to better protect America from cybercrime threatening the critical national infrastructure and the economy. And folks, this is more pandering for the election year, because we're all tired of Viagra ads in our mailboxes and porn popping up on our web browsers and all the rest of that stuff. But this is pure posturing for the election, because there's already laws that make all of this stuff illegal. They're just not being enforced. Nobody has the budget to allow people to go out and actually track down the hackers and slap them around and force them to watch their laptops being waterboarded, or send them through TSA and let the TSA smash their laptops. They're really good at that, trust me. So this, every time the government stands up and says, we're going to have more legislation and more regulations, well, that's what they do. That's what they're paid to come up with more of this paper. Pretty printed pieces of paper. Ooh, look, it's a law. But they don't enforce the laws that are already there. It's like this whole situation with the disaster in the Gulf of Mexico. And Obama goes down there, stands on the beach, and he looks really serious and stern, looking up to the Gulf. We must have new regulations to guard against this. We had regulations. The regulations were there. They were not being enforced by the Minerals Management Service. Same thing with the Securities and Exchange Commission. And all these Ponzi schemers and scammers that are coming to light. And everybody's saying, we must do something about this. What they were doing was already against the law. The government agencies tasked with enforcing those laws were not doing their jobs. And the same is true with cybersecurity. Unless you're actually trying to break into a government computer or a computer owned by a large corporation, there are no resources to fight cybercrime. And a new cybersecurity bill won't do anything at all. It's just more election year posturing. Because what those hackers and cyber criminals are doing is already against the law. We don't need more laws. The only reason the government wants more laws is to make it look like they're doing something when in point of fact they can't do anything about the problem at all, or don't really care to. They don't want to spend the money on keeping the Viagra ads out of your mailbox. They got to give the money to Israel. They got to give the money to Wall Street. They got to send it off and buy more bombs to drop on the Libyans or the Afghanis or the Pakistanis or whoever we're invading next. It's just pure theater and show business. Every time they get up and say, we're going to create a new law, we got plenty of laws. We've got too many laws. Nobody can keep them straight, especially the tax code. It's just more grandstanding for the election. I'm going to fix this problem with a new law. We've got the laws. Why aren't you enforcing the old laws? Isn't that the job of the executive branch, to execute the existing laws? Every time Obama gets up there and says, we're going to create a new law to deal with a crisis for which laws already exist, he's basically broadcasting his failure to have done his job. That's the job of the executive branch, to execute the will of the Congress. The president is not supposed to make laws. The president is supposed to obey the orders of the Congress after they have been judged constitutional by the Supreme Court. That's the way it was set up. That's what the executive branch is about, to execute the will of the Congress, which in turn is supposed to be representing the will of the people. We don't need more laws. We need you to go with the laws we've already got. Now, speaking of the cloud and cybersecurity, we're always hearing about the cloud, and what's going on here is we're actually seeing a devolution of computer technology, because in the really old, in the early days of steam-powered printers and kerosene terminals, there was the idea of the mainframe. And sometimes I get kind of, I get a giggle. I watch these really badly made science fiction movies that are written and directed by people who really don't understand the history of computers. And they talk about, well, we've got the mainframe out here. Well, mainframe as a concept kind of went out of fashion back in the 1970s, maybe the 1980s. Because mainframe was a computer to which everybody had terminals on. And your data was in the mainframe. Your files were in the mainframe, and you just had a remote terminal. I remember the very first time I had a terminal. I was working for Robert Abel & Associates, and I had a little VT52 terminal in my apartment in North Hollywood, and I had an acoustically coupled modem that would do 300 baud, and I thought I was just the coolest thing that ever was. And that was the mainframe model. But now it's all distributed computing. The data is on your desk. It's in your hard drive. It's in your local computer. The mainframe model has gone away. It's now client and server. And, you know, server is the big machine that may or may not have your data, and client is the machine that you are on where you have some of your data locally and some of your data goes up onto the servers. And servers are hierarchical. Now, the cloud is supposed to be a virtualization of the server idea where your data is in the cloud and can be accessed from anywhere, and I can see some advantages to that. But it's not really a robust technology, because apparently the Amazon Cloud Music Player has a bug that has surfaced in that people who are subscribing to Amazon's Cloud Player service, which is their version of iTunes, finding themselves locked out of their own music collection because of a bug where Amazon thinks they're subscribed on too many machines and too many players, and they are, in fact, not. And the end user's music collection, because it's now on the cloud, they can't get at their own data. It's held hostage by this software bug. And this is why I like my data local. When your data is in the cloud, anybody with access can look at it. And look at how the government behaves toward computer privacy and data now. There's no respect for privacy. If your information, if your files are on the cloud, they're already looking through them all for pirated music and pirated movies and pornographic pictures and, you know, copies of Bin Laden's death certificate or whatever. There's no guarantee of privacy and security in the cloud. There is a guarantee that you could lose all of your information, which is what happened here. We're going to go to the phones. Chris in Utah, aloha. Chris, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. I believe I have a solution for Fukushima.
Lay it on me.
Okay. If each of the partially melted reactor cores were blasted with black powder, the pressure would be so low and the velocity so low that it would not shatter anything, but it should scatter the reactor rods to where criticality would no longer be possible. Flood the hot spots remaining with boron mud, and then you could gather it up at your leisure. Now, there'd be a bit of a cloud of stuff from the from what was already powdered, but the black powder wouldn't powder anymore. And I think that would render it to where they could work on it.
Well, you know what I think we ought to do? I think we ought to take that critical reactor, that pressure vessel, just think of the world's greatest moonshine still right there with that little steel thing, and it's already got all the heat you need in there and all the water and everything. Just get that corn mash in there and get that white lightning, call it radioactive lightning, coming out the other end. I understand where you're coming from, and I'm a black powder enthusiast myself, but the situation is getting close enough to the reactors, any kind of explosive, as you said yourself, it's going to scatter the debris all over the place. And the problem is that the criticality is taking place inside these fuel rods, which are not necessarily going to be pulverized evenly by the explosive. And if you want to understand where my concern about that comes from, you need to go out to YouTube and search for a video called Dynamiting a Whale, where somebody said, we can do that exact same solution. There's this dead whale on the beach. We can't move. We'll just blow it up into little tiny pieces, and the seagulls will take it away. And it didn't quite work out the way it was planned for reasons that are actually germane to this discussion. And I understand what you're saying, and I get a lot of emails and calls from people saying, we'll just blow it all up, put a nuke on there. And yes, it'll still be radioactive, but at least it'll be all over and we can clean it up. But there are some very compelling reasons why this is not going to work. What they're trying to find is a way to cold shut down the reactors, then they can bury it all and not have any leakage, hopefully, although obviously with the proximity to the Pacific Ocean. We're never going to be rid of this. We're going to see this thing leaking and hissing and fizzing for years and decades and so forth going on. Anyway, Chris, thanks an awful lot for the phone call. We're going to switch over to George in Texas. Aloha, George. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Now, how you doing, Mike?
I'm hanging in there.
Well, I was just watching the local news on Fox. They were talking about Bush International Airport is going to be laying off all the private security around the airport and have TSA take over. I'm like, what? You know, the TSA is driving away more business. I mean, for anybody in the business community, you wouldn't keep somebody on the job who's going to drive away business. You're going to get rid of the people that's hurting your business. I just can't understand.
Well, that's how TSA is going to keep itself going. They're going to make sure there's no competition, there's no alternative. There's, you know, you can't get away from them by going on the bus, you can't get away from them by walking, you can't get away from whatever. And it's beginning to remind me, did you ever see the movie Time Bandits?
No.
There's this scene in there where John Cleese is playing Robin Hood, and he's handing out the treasures to the poor, and every time he does, the guy sitting next to him just bashes the poor person in the face. And Rob, after that happens three or four times, Robin Hood says, does he really have to do that? And his assistant says, yeah, actually, it's required. Robin Hood goes, oh, okay, and just goes on handing out the treasure, and the guy gets... And it's this kind of absurdity of where, you know, it is now going to become part of society that in order to do anything, you must strip naked for the government, you must get fondled and groped, you must have your luggage looted, just resign yourself to the fact that your iPod is going to vanish from your luggage and they're going to drop and wreck your laptop, and that is simply the price you pay to live in a free society. So if you really want to be free, you better gosh darn do what you're told.
Exactly. But I even heard there's going to be private charter flights where you get around the TSA, and even flying into like border airports into Mexico to fly out of the country. I mean,
well, yeah, the charter airlines don't have to do this stuff, and of course, all the members of Congress and everything who've inflicted this on the people, they don't have to go through all this stuff. You know, they get special passes. They get to walk around. They get to basically laugh at those of us who are standing there with our genitalia hanging out. You know, so that these losers from the seminary, you know, can just, look what we got here. And it is. It's one set of rules for them. And folks, I'm telling you, take a look around. The American people are being treated by the U.S. government the way the Palestinians are treated by Israel. Security gates, constant searches, constant lines.
I even talked to, the TSA came in... And is trying to court our local county police, and I tell you one thing, the police don't like it at all.
Nobody likes it except the TSA stockholders, you know, and Chertoff's people. They're all getting rich on this thing.
Well, the only way we could stop the TSA from coming in our shopping malls and our supermarket is for local government to oust them.
No, because then it gets into a jurisdiction fight, and the federal government will come in and say, well, we have jurisdiction here, that you're not allowed to run your own communities in your own state anymore. We, in the name of the war on terror, are declaring a national emergency, and you must do what we say, and that's what's going to happen. But I'll tell you what's going to get the TSA out of the shopping malls. The shopping malls are going to go out of business, because we're already in a situation where 9 times out of 10 I go to the shopping mall, they don't have what I need anyway. They say, oh, you have to order it online. Okay, well, then I'm not coming back here anymore. There's no reason for me to go to a shopping mall if I'm going to wind up buying what I need online anyway. And if you start groping people and grabbing them going into the shopping malls are going to go out of business. Nobody's going to want to go through that hassle to go down and avail themselves of a white sale.
Well, you know, the thing is, too, I even seen, a nice passenger van that seats, 10 people. I say if the TSA really starts getting... groping people at the shopping at the bus station. I mean, I'll charter my van and say, pay me so much, take you to San Antonio, and you can smoke.
Yeah. No, we'll start loaning our cars to each other. We'll start, we'll start carpooling. They, the TSA can't come in and grab our crotches if we're carpooling, can they? You know, well, there might be a lot of TSA people lying in the roadway right next to the dead skunks. The only difference will be there won't be any skid marks in front of the TSA guy.
Yeah.
All righty. Thanks a lot for the call, George. We've got to let you go. We're almost out of time. Clayton in Texas. Aloha, Clayton. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, I just want to talk about the cloud computing. You know, two other things is, you know, Google has that deal where you can put your Excel spreadsheets up and everybody can hit it at the same time, and it looks real nice. But our business was considering doing that. But then we were like, well, what happens to our documents? Well, they're put on Google's server. And so everybody's, a lot of businesses are uploading all these very personal and confidential documents. And
Clayton,
like,
Clayton?
Yes.
Clayton, hang on. We got a break for commercial. Don't go away. I want you to finish this when we come back.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendivite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendivite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a two-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone. I mean, the panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're talking with Clayton in Texas about cloud technology and privacy. And you need to understand that once your data is on the cloud, it is fair game for anybody in the government to come in and use. And as a warning, I mean, we were already finding out our iPhones are tracking our location and saving the data for years on end. Android is doing it. TomTom admits they're sending data. Every time you break the speed limit, they're making it available to local law enforcement. Now, several years ago when I was living up in Washington State, we had the Asia-Pacific Economic Conference in Seattle. And there was this huge, huge scandal where it turned out the FBI was bugging all the people coming to this conference. And they were bugging these individuals to get corporate information. Pricing, sales advantage, inside, you know, corporate information like that. And then they were turning around and giving it to favored political cronies, donors to candidates, and so forth and so on. It was basically corporate espionage carried out by U.S. government assets on behalf of favored campaign donors. And so if you are a business and you have competitors, and those competitors are donating money to a certain political candidate or senator or whatever, and your private data regarding new products, new services, your financial statements are in the cloud, there's a very good chance your competitors are going to get handed that data in order to help them overcome you. And there's nothing new with that. It's been going on for years. One of the reasons that these undercover FBI informants in college will stay connected to the intelligence network after they graduate is because they get business tips and advantageous intelligence information through that little FBI network that allows them to become rich and defeat their competition. If you ever find a book called Compromised, Clinton, Bush, and the CIA, it's about the whole Iran-Contra gun and drug running operation. It's a very hard book to find right now. For some strange reason, it keeps getting bought and burned, but I digress. But if you go in there, and it's written by a guy by the name of Terry Reed, who was involved in the CIA, and he said the primary reason to be involved with the CIA is you got all this business information, business leads, information on your competitors, that where you could go in and you knew exactly what your competitor was bidding for a contract, and you could put your bid a dollar below and come in and get the contract against the other competitor. When I was approached by CIA at CBS Television City, they approached me to sabotage a pilot for a game show that was being put forward by a producer who was not connected to the CIA, because they wanted their producer, who was a CIA asset, to get the job and get the money. And that's when I realized that, you know, there isn't much difference between CIA and the mafia, and, you know, I sort of declined politely to get involved with them at that point. But that's the way they play the game. And so, yeah, if your data is on the cloud, you are a sucker to put your stuff up there. It's not protected and it's not secured. They'll tell you it is, but, you know, again, we didn't think the iPhone was keeping tracks of where we were going for years on end. Anything else, Clayton? Okay, I guess we dropped Clayton on there, which is fine because we're pretty much at the end of the show today. And we'll be back tomorrow, Friday, here at 2 o'clock in the afternoon here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And until tomorrow, stay safe, stay well, stay angry, stay skeptical. Guard your data. That stuff is so valuable, especially to people who don't like you, and take care of it. Don't rely on anybody else to keep your data private. You have to do it for yourself. Aloha, America.
Next round of the worst financial crisis.